لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
السلام brothers and viewers of Madari channel You are watching our beautiful program, The Reviver of Deen. Alhamdulillah Azawajal. In this program, as you've seen, that we're talking and discussing about the seerah, the biography of none other than the greatest wali of our time and the greatest wali until the end times, Hazrat Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. Inshallah Azawajal. Yesterday we had a topic about Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. Today we've got a topic, and an interesting topic, because you know, every person that is bad with any Piro Murshid, you know, your Piro Murshid gives you wazaifs as well. We're going to be discussing about the wazaifs and the special prayers that our Sayyid Murshid Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala used to read. Alhamdulillah, so we're going to go through some of them and also some of the wazaifs of Qadriya, Razviya, Attariya, Silsila as well. And inshallah, so that before anything else, I want to start off with the Qira'at, the Tilawat of the Quran, and the Naat-e Paak, Kalam-e Paak, and then inshallah Azawajal will introduce you to our guests, and then inshallah Azawajal go straight into the topic today. So inshallah, let's listen to the tilawat of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون لاهية قلوبهم وأسروا النجوى الذين ظلموا هل هذا إلا بشر مثلكم أفتأتون السحر وأنتم تبصرون قال ربي يعلم القول في السماء والأرض وهو السميع العليم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم إن شاء الله عز وجل Let's recite the درود پاک إن شاء الله صل على نبينا صلي على شفينا صلي على محمد فلي صلي على نبينا صلي على نبينا صلي على محمد Another very beautiful kalam written by Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. If you know the kalam, inshallah, so that you can recite with us. And it's another very favorite kalam of mine. And inshallah, so that let's read it together, inshallah, so that. Oh, If you just joined us, you are watching our beautiful program, Revival of Deen. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. We have a full studio today again, mashallah, Azza wa Jal. Harun bhai on my right side, mashallah. Harun bhai, how are you? You're okay?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil
Alameen, ala kulli hal. Alayta Bach, subhanallah. Kya baat hai, Madina ji. Ye, mashallah, Tawfiq bhai is here as well. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah. We're going to be talking about the wazaif and the special prayers that Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala used to read. And then also, you know, if you are bad with the Peer-e Kamil, then why is it important to read these wazaif and what are the blessings? Inshallah, Azawajal. He will start off with the Harun bhai.
Hafsab, you know, for centuries and centuries, the solution to people's problems wasn't physicians, wasn't doctors, wasn't people in authority, wasn't people in power. The solution to their problems was turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one of the ways, one of the methods that they used was the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla through the Paak for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because these were the true cures. When you go to the doctor, the Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted him some skills through which he gives you the medication to help you. But shifa comes from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, in exactly the same way, where Allah Azza wa Jalla can cure you because of treatment you have, Allah Azza wa Jalla can cure you if you recite His blessed name. Now, I'm going to start with a very, very beautiful story and a hadith of Mubarakah, which really brings home the power of wazaif. Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad bin Ishaq rahmatullah narrates that Hazrat Malik Ashjai radiallahu ta'ala came to the blessed court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that, Ya Rasulullah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my son has been imprisoned by the enemies. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, now, if you look at this, he's been imprisoned by the enemies. Now, the intellect would have you say that you should send an army to free him, you should send some sort of, you know, ransom or something. But the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was teaching us the power of the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, get a message to him that to recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Subhanallah.
Get a message to him and tell him to recite this in abundance. Hazrat Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala was tied in chains by the enemies. And he got this message and he starts to recite this beautiful kalma. He says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he continues to recite it until the chains break away. He becomes free. And in the riwayat it says that the people who were guarding the prison, they suddenly became very tired and they fell asleep. He walks out of there and he gets on a she camel and he starts to ride away. And when he comes away from the place where he was imprisoned, there were a load of goats and cattle grazing. And this cattle started to follow him as well. So he then reaches home, he knocks on the door. His parents come to the door, and obviously they are very pleased to see him. They're very happy. Their son, who was imprisoned by the enemy, has suddenly turned up home. Now, when they come, they thank Allah, but look at what they do. The Hadith of Baqa says, when his parents saw this, they immediately went to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they knew why this had happened. And all this cattle that had come with him, they said in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do we do with this? Is it halal for us? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do whatever you want with these camels and the cattle that you have, because they are lawful for you. Now look at the position that they were in, that the son was imprisoned, the elderly parents were there, and then suddenly, just by wazifa that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught and got the message to, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him. So from this ayah mubarakah, we know that the power of the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla and through the faqh upon his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is enough to solve all your problems. And we know, Hafsa, that the glorious Quran tells us in Surah Anbiya, ayat 87, okay, you know, when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam was in the stomach of the fish, and they called out, and the glorious Quran says, translation from Kunz al-Iman, he therefore called out in the realms of darkness, there is no God except you, glory be to you, indeed an out of place act occurred from me, is the translation. Now, in this situation, it was an amazing thing. These are the amazing level of spiritual magnificence of the Anbiya Ikram, that he'd been inviting his ummah to the right path. They'd been ignoring him, and eventually he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, they won't believe in me, send your punishment to them. And he came away and boarded a ship. And when the ummah saw the clouds of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla come, they repented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, thinking that maybe what I've done wasn't in accordance with the will of Allah, wasn't right,
he immediately started repent. Alangad, this is the amazing status of these pious Nabis of Allah. These are people who are free from sin. You cannot even consider any part of their character as any fault or anything else. This is just an amazing high status that they have. But the important thing for that is this, that in this Ayah Mubarakah, we are taught the words that he used to invoke the blessings and the mercy of Allah.
There are a lot of people that read that verse before. It's called Ayat Karima.
Ayat Karima, yes.
You know, Sabah Allah, Martaba Ayat Karima.
Especially when someone's ill.
Yeah,
that one is very mujarrab. The common word that people hear and
mujarrab, you know, is a very powerful, accepted thing.
It's been practiced.
Tried and tested.
Hafizab, before I say what I need to say, I want to carry on from Aruba. He mentioned the word La Hawl Sharif. And as a coincidence, there's four narrations in front of me regarding that same.
SubhanAllah.
I'll share that first, inshallah. I watched some of them, inshallah, narrations. These are sayings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in various books of hadith. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that make a habit to read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
MashaAllah.
As this is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah.
Allah.
In another place, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that should I not tell you the door of the doors of Jannah? Should I not tell you about the door from the doors of Jannah? And the people said, so what is that? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Subhanallah.
In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said that whoever recites La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is a treatment for 99 illnesses.
Allahu Akbar.
And from them illnesses, the low level of illnesses are ranj and gham, grief and sadness.
MashaAllah.
This is a cure for grief and sadness as well.
I mean, you see a lot of people, because we're in the Tawizat Majlis, and a lot of the people, sadly, you know, when they ring up and they send messages, it's like, pareshani hai, dil upset ho raha, kal hi paini hai, you know, all these kind of things. So alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah illa liyal azim wa illa billah is a very, very beautiful amal that we normally give to the people as well.
This is a term that we hear a lot of ladies reading as well, and family members. The thing is that whenever we recite any wazifa, any litany, you have to pronounce it correctly.
Bilkul.
If you want to get the fruits and blessings from those wazif, you have to pronounce it properly. And for this particular wazifa that a lot of people read, I'll mention two common mistakes that people make here. So instead of saying La Hawla, people say La Hawla. The beginning La is longer. La, slightly longer. La Hawla.
Because La is Nafi, is
that means no. Yeah. And the other, if you say La Hawla, that could become the opposite. Definitely this. Yeah. In certain context. Yeah. So here, La Hawla, and the second word is Wala Quwwata. So same letter, but comes twice, and you have to make it long. Some people say La Hawla Wala Quwwata. Yeah, you can't say that. You have to read it correctly. La Hawla Wala Quwwata. And Qaf, this Qaf is the two dots, is pronounced back of the mouth. So Qaf, not Kaf, not Quwwata. And there's other mistakes that people make here as well. But this is just to highlight the major issue that what people do. People spend a long time, sometimes, you know, you could say, you know, hours they decide to wazaif. And sometimes that continues to days and months as well. Both they don't know how to pronounce. So those people who do recite any particular wazifa in your daily routine, please get that checked. You get a Sunni Qari Sahib, read his words to them, and get it checked, inshallah.
You know, some people might think, Tafibay, that you're reading the wazifa, so what does it matter if there are slight mistakes? But the analogy that sometimes the scholars give is a very beautiful one. That say you need to type a password in to open the door to the treasures. And if you make a mistake in that part, and these days the passwords are very case sensitive, they have asterisks, they have numbers, and you know when you're trying to create a password, they say you've got to make sure it has all these in it, and the strength of the password is there. Now, strength of the password often is dictated by the value of the treasure behind it. So if it's a little thing, the password will be simple. If it's something more complicated, more expensive, more precious, then the password is quite significant. Now, in this this dua, this wazifa, opens up the treasures of Allah Azza wa Jal and His blessings. And therefore, if you think that, you know, if you, na'uzu billahi min zalik, read it incorrectly, la wala wala quwwata, and this is what a lot of people say, then if you're not getting the blessings, you're not opening the door, you're still stood outside the door. You haven't mastered the password. Whereas if you recite it properly, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah, then you will open up this door of blessings. And it's like one brother explained it to me many, many years ago, and I still remember it. He did it in such a beautiful way. He said, Harumbe, you know when the great sheikhs and the Buzurgani, being the pious predecessors, tell us that you've got to recite this wazifa this many times, and yet we don't bother, we just read it. We think, what's the difference between reciting it, say, you know, 70 times, why don't I do it 75 times or something like that? He said, look, you know when you put a key in the door, there's notches on the key, isn't there?
Yeah.
And if one of the notches is not the right size, the door, the lock won't open.
No.
And he said, so, you know when the Buzurganidin, the wazifa you referred to earlier, that Amir al-Sunadan al-Barakatumul Aliyah gives us wazifa for every morning. If you read them in their tadat, in their true quantity, then they are the key to open the door of these treasures. If you increase them or decrease them by your own will, yeah, then you may not get, you will get the benefits in the name of Allah, but you won't get those great treasures.
It's like
treasures.
Saying to someone that instead of doing two sajdi, why don't you do three, because it's better, isn't it? Yeah, but you can't do three.
In that case though, it's first. It's first to do two for the day, then you can't do three for the day, yeah?
No, so
here, there's no doubt there's blessings in those words. Now, for example, a particular sheikh has given his murid a wazifa to read and said, read this 11 times. For example, in our the Khatme Qadriya, we have many wazif which we have to recite 111 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, technically, you can read 110 times, you can read 100 times, you can read it how much you want, yeah? If you need it less, it's not a guna or something, or if you need more, it's not a guna. It's just rules of tariqat. Yeah? From spiritual path, it's important that you recite it up to that number.
And,
there's blessings in that.
And I'll tell you why. The great pious predecessors, people like Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawse Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, they've spent their lives practicing these, and they have set the quantities from their amazing spiritual practices. They've said that we have discovered that if you recite this particular wazifa, this particular, you know, name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this particular Ayah Mubarakah, the glorious Quran, this particular saying of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so many times, this will have this benefit. And because it's not a thing that's plucked it out of thin air. No, these great people spent years and decades actually practicing these things, and then from their nature, maybe as an example, these great walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, in their spiritual journeys, discovered these great madan pearls from places we can't even imagine.
No, Harumbe, sometimes people raise this question, now why do people wear amulets, the tabizat? Why do you have to do a wazifa? Is it written in hadith? Where is it proven from? Now, a lot of people put objections. And especially if those individuals who've not heard of this concept in their life before, and they see someone else reading a wazifa, thinking, what are you doing? Yeah? You know, to them it looks alien in a way, something new for them. And you know, that's because of their environment that they lived in all that time. Yeah? But if you look at the teachings of Islam, you'll find that there is a proof from the Quran, from the ahadith, with regards to, yeah, we read some of the narrations here as well. Yeah, there's clear proof regarding the wazaif and amulets, etc. as well. I want to share with you two narrations. One of them is our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever from amongst you can benefit his Muslim brother, he should do so.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, this is with regards to, you know, giving ta'weez to your Muslim fellows. And this is the whole concept of ta'weezat, especially those people who make ta'weez and give it to the Muslims. The whole concept is to relieve the pain of the ummah, to make it easy for them, to help them, to support them at the difficult time they're going through. And the question is, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read wazifa? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite what litanies, or is it just reading them? Again, let's look at the hadith path from this particular narration in front of me. Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek refuge against the evil eye of jinns and humans to such an extent that Surah Falaq and Surah Nas were revealed.
Subhanallah.
Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted these and left the others.
Subhanallah.
So Prophet sallallahu ta'ala used to recite Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, the last two chapters of the Holy Quran, as a means of protection from the evil eye.
You know, the scholars, they mentioned that where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his time in Ghari Hira, what would he do there? You know, we do find out that he used to offer his Nafal Salah because, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, as the Anbiya Ikram used to. But the other thing was he used to do, you know, these special prayers, these wazaifs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught. You know, so Alhamdulillah, if someone says, why do you read them? I think I say, Jailana Sawala.
The key thing is, you know, we have 24 hours in our 24-hour rota, in our day.
We have 24 hours in 24 hours.
SubhanAllah. Now, I was going to say, I don't know about half a second, but generally we have 24 26. Hours.
You got 26.
But in our 24 hours, you know, we do many things on daily basis. Sleeping, eating, and working. You know, there are certain aspects that take the bulk of our time. And we have family time as well. But there should be a certain slot for your personal worship,
yeah,
for your own self. And this is something, is the, you could say it's the beauty of the life of the pious, of the great Muslims. You know, you, whoever you look at, you know, you select one individual, a pious Muslim, could be Sahabi, could be a Tabi'i, could be one of the awliya. No, picture them, or even one of the Islamic scholars, you'll realize these individuals, regardless of how busy they are in their activity,
yeah,
there'll be a certain slot in their daily routine where they focus on the wazaif.
Self-reflection, yeah, isn't it?
Self-reflection, yeah, where they focus on reading certain regular litanies. For example, yeah, it could be before a particular namaz, it could be after a namaz, it could be before they go to sleep, it could be early morning before Fajr namaz.
Yeah.
They will select certain amount. And the more you study the pious people, you realize they give a lot of importance to this.
And we can, yeah, see that in front of our eyes.
This
today
is because it benefits you spiritually.
You know, with Amir al Sunnah, we see that, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, after Maghrib Salah, Amir al Sunnah used to walk around, you know, and Islam brother used to see him. And one Islam brother, I even asked the question that, Papa, is it a Sunnah to walk? Because whatever you do is a, you know, you try to act upon the Sunnah. He goes, no, it's not a Sunnah to walk after Maghrib, but because I'm reading my wazaif, so I want to read them.
The question that you both posed was this, that what, you know, some people, they don't understand it, and they say, why are you reading it? One of the problems that we've got, especially in today's society, in the olden times, what used to happen is that people used to come to the Buzurgan, the pious predecessors, the awliya Allah, the, you know, the pious people of the time, and even the Imams of the Masajid as well, and they used to say, okay, Hazrat, I've got this problem. And these great sheikhs used to say, well, this is what Allah and His beloved Habib have given us. Go and read this wazifa, go and read this ayat, go and read this. And they used to go away and they used to just do it because, you know, they believed strongly in it.
Uh-huh.
Today we're in an era where everybody wants to question things. So what happens is this, a lot of people you speak to, they do ask that question, why are you reading these wazifa? I mean, ask yourself what you're doing. Some people do, and I've had people who've asked me that. First of all, you're questioning why I am taking the name of Allah. That's the first thing. How dare you? I mean, look at what you're doing, right? But second, deen is not what you perceive the deen to be, or what you want it to be, or what your intellect tells you it is. Deen is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. Now, if the Quran Kareem quotes a wazifa of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the benefits of reciting La Hawl Sharif, if, you know, this beautiful hadith of Mubarakah, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is sat in the beautiful court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, should I not inform you of such a thing that when any difficulty or a calamity from the worldly calamity descends upon you, for you to supplicate through this, and the calamity and trouble will disappear. The Sahaba Ikram say, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, tell us. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then recites this dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And this beautiful dua mubarak, you know, ayah kareemah that you were saying, and this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, recite this. And now, for intellect, this is where you can use a bit of intellect, but if the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if you have troubles and calamities, you read this and it disappears, then how do you know when a calamity is going to descend?
So if you make it a habit of reciting this beautiful zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this beautiful, you know, part of the ayah mubarakah of the Quran, but obviously the scholars say when you're reading it, you should read it with the intention of a dua. Read it with that intention. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If I get up in the morning, if I have a routine to recite that particular dua mubarak, this wazifa, every morning, say 63 times. I'm just taking it from the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Umre Mubarak, yeah? I don't know what calamities they're going to face me during the day, but if I read this, hopefully with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, this will help me. If I recite Ayatul Kursi before I leave home, that will protect me. Then, as well as that, there are Lahaul Sharif that, Tawfiqbhai was telling us about. So there are all these different wazaif, there are all these different things that you can use to protect yourself. Let me tell you that a lot of Buzurgani Deen and a lot of pious people that I've had the, alhamdulillah, the privilege of being close to, especially Fajr Samasa, they will stay there, they will read, and the types of things they read is they will read, Surah Yasin Sharif, because they know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that is a protection from difficulties, your needs are fulfilled, and there's a lot more, I've got it here.
We should look at Shuyukh, the spiritual leaders or spiritual guides around the world for centuries back. There's one thing that's common in them, they have a collection of wazaif that they recommend their disciples, their murid. And I've got front of me here, Shajara Sharif. This is the collection of the wazaif, what shuyukh do, the Buzurgani Deen, the pious spiritual leaders, they give a set of collection of the wazaif for their disciples to read. Wow. And there's different rulings in regarding that. For example, this is put to me, the Shajara Sharif of Qadriya, Razaviya, Ziyaya, Attariya Silsila. Yeah, this is given by Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib, Damat Barakat Maliyah. And whoever becomes his murid, or he becomes his talib, he just bears the barakat, that person can has the ijazat or permission to read any of the wazifa from this particular booklet. Now, if you look at the litanies that are mentioned here, there's different ones. For example, there's certain wazif that said that read them every day, anytime, but read them every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah? There's certain you should read after each namaz. There's some you should read in the morning and the evening. There's different wazaif, there are certain things you should read before you go to sleep. So, whatever, you have a look at them and select certain, what you think that, that appeal to you, that you think that easy to practice, or you want to challenge yourself, and select certain, and then practice those, yeah, and have consistency.
You know, the Almighty Ram, they say that these are the special secrets of the Awliya Ikram that Amir al-Sunnah has given you guys.
SubhanAllah.
I was speaking to a Mufti Sahib and he goes, it's amazing. You know how Amir al-Sunnah gathered all these together and I've given you. And if we don't read them, it's our bad luck.
One thing I want to mention here, that in these books, a lot of wazaif that I've mentioned this, it says that read this particular wazifa in the 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening. Morning and evening. With any field that you look into, we have terminology. Yeah. Even in the science, any branch of knowledge that you look at, even Islamic knowledges, there's so many branches. Each branch, they have their own terminologies. Similarly, you'd be surprised that in the, I don't know what branch you're going to call this, or rather, wazaif.
That's
you can say, in this particular field, there are terminologies. So here, when we say subh or sham, morning, evening, this is not what we normally use in the day-to-day routine.
Morning, 9 a.m.
is morning, and evening would be 6 p.m. Yeah. It's not that. Yeah, scholars have given a specific detail of this to these terminologies. So when we say the word subho, what does that mean? It means from the midnight, and this midnight doesn't mean 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yeah? So midnight is from half of the sunset and sunrise. So middle of that, that's the midnight. So for example, in summer in UK, it's around 1 o'clock. Yeah? So nowadays, obviously, it'll be slightly different.
Yeah? Yeah.
So from the midnight all the way till the beginning of sunrise.
So if to make it easier, shall we say beginning time of Fajr?
From the midnight. Yeah, it says here, Adi Raat Dalle, says Surat ki pehli kiran tak. So after the midnight, all the way till sunrise. Not beginning of Fajr, it says up to sunrise. Yeah, Surat ki pehli kiran tak.
Okay.
Yeah. So someone recites any that particular wazifa in any time during that piece. So if it's 5 hour slot, you read it 3 o'clock in the morning, that it will be counted as the morning. Yeah? When it says evening, what does it mean? Here it means, to make it easy, from the beginning of Zuhr namaz till Maghrib. So throughout this period, if you read that particular wazifa, it'll be counted as you read this in the evening.
Mashallah.
So this is important to keep in mind. Similarly, there's
other the night will be from Isha to...
No, night is after Maghrib. Islamically, that's night now.
Mashallah.
Yeah? So these are certain things that we have to keep in mind. Yeah? And if you look at the adab of wazifa, this is something very important.
Yeah.
Like, we will probably think, you know, it's only about reading a wazifa, isn't it? Let's read a wazifa. Now read this 100 times, read this 5,000 times. Yeah? It's not like this. There are adab, there are rulings, and we have to be aware of it. There's many manners. I want to share some of them. These have been written in quite detail in Fatawa Razvi, actually, by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Al Zakhan, rahmatullahi ta'ala. And one of them is that when someone wants to practice a particular wazifa, a litany, he normally does it to fulfill his problem. If there was a problem that he wants to get solution to that problem. So what does he do? He reads it, you know, to a level that where if he had a particular problem, so he'll read that wazifa to get the cure. And the adab for this is, when you read this, you should read the wazifa, the words that you're reciting, these are actually, you can say the wasila, these are like the sources that will help you to get the cure. So don't read like just having that problem in your mind, but read that you're doing the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And for example, if you're saying Ya Allah, yeah, so don't read, for example, don't say the word Ya Allah, you know, 11 times, Ya Sattar, Ya Sattar. You are calling out to Allah Ta'ala, not just to fulfill those numbers.
Or no, when we were reading, Shajra Sharif, not Shajra Sharif, Khatm al-Qadriya Sharif. You know, if it's someone's house, now those people who are present in that Khatm al-Qadriya, we were told that it's not only for that person. Whoever's here should make an intention that I've got this problem, I've got that problem, or I want this. You make the intention as well, that is for you as well. You know, sometimes what happens is someone's got Khatm al-Qadriya Sharif in his house. Yeah, the one person, he goes, okay, can we have it next week in my house? You know, you've already been there, so inshallah you can make that intention as well.
So here, if the person is reading those words, that those litanies with the intention of is calling out to Allah Ta'ala, is doing it for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, then these words are jais, is permissible to recite in the masjid as well.
MashaAllah.
However, sometimes, you know, people have just the intention that they will just want a cure for their problem.
Yeah, just
about so. And what they do, that I come to that as well, but if someone has that niyat that he's just doing it, for example, you said Savalat.
Yeah.
We do it for a particular problem, you know, we read Ya Salamu, you know, 125,000 times, for example. And we read these wazaif until we get cured from that particular problem. Yeah. And if someone does it just to meet his needs, it's okay as well. It's not that it's not allowed, it's guna for him. It's okay as well. However, in this case, because his niyat is not the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, in this case, scholars mentioned that aise wazife masjid mein na karna behtar hai. It's better to not do these type of wazaif in the masjid, if the intention is just your personal need. So it's not, the intention was not the zikr of Allah Ta'ala.
And you know, even having that Shajra Sharif, Tawfiq Bey, you know, with yourself, you know, I've alhamdulillah always had it near my heart, and there's so much barakat in that. When I say any matlab ki main goji bayawa, you know, I'm going to probably, the wazila of Shajra Sharif, when I look at it, there's going to be money in there. You know, it's not with that intention, but for the satisfaction.
Look, wazifa should be done to get cure for, to meet a permissible act. Yeah, you're looking for something, for example, and that act that you're looking for, that needs to be jais, calm. Yeah, and if that thing that you're trying to do, you know, your intention is for an impermissible, haram act or a sinful act, then those wazaif are not allowed. In fact, it is mentioned, not allowed in the masjid. No. For example, a person is practicing a particular wazifa so that there's husband, wife, and they break up. So this type of wazifa is haram.
Yeah.
So you don't just do wazifa, your intention needs to be good, but the act needs to be good as well.
Yeah.
These are very important things. And sometimes the wazifa might be fine, but the method, there's certain procedure, the styles of doing things, and if those methods are incorrect, they don't follow the boundaries of Sharia, then they're not allowed as well. For example, it's mentioned here, sifli ilm waghaira ke zariye tab bhi ye haram hai. So there's more people going to black magic and other aspects as well. Yeah. So if whatever wazifa you're doing, it has to follow the teachings of Islam.
So all about jana, you know, and all these kind of stuff. You know, we went into a house on, they said that we also share some manas when you see. Yeah, so we had a something was there was a problem, and we had a manat, and it goes, we need to fulfill that now. So what they did was they had a few drums, and you know, and even they had kunguru on the, you know, on the feet, and all they were doing is dancing. Other manat bani, you know, these manat, वैसे भी शरीर तो मन्नत और ही कोनी
है. Sometimes, you know, if you look at the objective of doing, practicing that particular wazifa, no, we just do it for our personal need. It's not there for the zikr of Allah Ta'ala to get the blessings. And the question is, how do you determine that? Now, is there a particular scale to say that, no, that wazifa you recited, that wasn't for the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that was, you know, for your own personal need. And, you know, how do you differentiate that? Scholars mentioned it's a simple rule. Yeah? If you were doing it to, for example, you're looking for a job. Yeah? So you practice a particular wazifa, though, for 3 months, 6 months to get a job. And you've been reading it consistently with istiqamah, you know, you read it all the way with sincerity. And then from the moment you got a job, you forgot the wazifa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after that, you didn't read it. Yeah, that means that wazifa you were reading, that wasn't for the zikr of Allah.
Because you found a better wazifa now.
That was for your personal need.
Yeah.
And this is important part. Whenever we do zikr of Allah Ta'ala, whenever we decide this wazif, we should do it for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala.
MashaAllah.
See, there's a bigger spiritual point here. And it's one that we need to remember and take away, because what we do is we live in a very materialistic society. So where do I go for the solution to my problems? Where do I go for peace and tranquility? I move to the world. What these wazaif do is they put us back in touch with reality and who we are and where we're going. A lot of these, almost all of these wazaif are based upon Ayat Mubarakas from the Quran,
yes, sir,
or the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, through the Pak upon his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, recitation. For example, you know, the glorious Quran, I mean, if you read, for example, Surah Fatiha Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is a cure for illness. You read Surah Yasin Sharif, it's the heart of the Quran, that is it helps against calamities and gives you blessings. You read Surah Waqia Sharif, it's for getting rid of financial difficulties. But look what the beauty of Islam is. Where it's taken us from? It's taken us from a worldly life back to getting in touch and building our spiritual relationship with Allah. Because when you get up in the morning, even if you know you're being selfish, like Tawfiq Bhai said, and you're doing it for your own needs, at least you are doing the zikr of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is gradually it takes you to a different stage. Because look at the beauty of Islam, and this is one of the beauties of Dawat Islami as well. Because you get a lot of kind of, alhamdulillah, people who try to make us live our lives in a more pious way. The beauty of the Madni Kaflas of Dawat Islami that I used to find is this. That I didn't know this till I came into the Madni environment of Dawat Islami, but there's a dua for everything. You know, there's a dua for leaving home, there's a dua for eating your roti, there's a dua for finishing your food, there's a dua for, you know, walking up the stairs, there's a dua for coming down the stairs, there's a dua for going to sleep, there's a dua for waking up, there's a dua for going to the bathroom, there's a dua for coming out of the bathroom. And all of these are urad, because you're thanking Allah. And what it gradually does is this zikr of Allah constantly in different situations takes over your life. Mm-hmm. And so, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and when you combine that with the five prayers, recitation of the Quran every day, and you know, alhamdulillah, it takes over your life. You know, the person himself who recites Surah Yasin Sharif every day, yakeen karein ke, he feels so strong. Surah Waqia Sharif, if anybody has got any financial difficulty, we're in this epidemic at the moment, or pandemic, and you know, people are financially, some people are struggling. And Surah Waqia Sharif, I was listening to one Buzurg, and they were saying that, you know, whenever I've had a financial problem, I've got the kids together in the madrasa I run, and I said, just sit down, everybody. And there's a jamia, and he goes, I sit everybody down, he says, read Surah Waqia Sharif. And within a short time, because of the blessings and the barakat of Surah Waqia Sharif, my problem was solved. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he goes to visit Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, a beautiful companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in his last time. And Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen, goes to him and he says that, you know, he asks about his health, and then he, as he's about to leave, he gives him some money, some bags of coins. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala says, Hazrat, why are you giving me this? I don't need it. I'm about to leave this world. Why would I need this money? He says, no, you don't have any sons. You just have daughters, and your daughters will need it after you pass by. And the confidence of this companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amazing. He said, no, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us something that my daughters don't need this money. They will be fine. He says, what? He says, I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that whoever recites Surah Waqia Sharif every night, he will never have poverty. I have taught my daughters Surah Waqia Sharif. They will never be financially constrained. They don't need any money. Allah will take care of all of their needs. So you take the money and you go give it to somebody who doesn't have Surah Waqia Sharif, because my daughters don't need it. Yeah. Now, look at the confidence. Now, this is what we need to do. So those people who are struggling, start reading Surah Waqia Sharif. Those people who every day, by 12 o'clock, have their head in their hand, start reading Surah Yasin Sharif in the morning. But there's one precondition for all these wazaif that we're discussing, because we're coming to the end of this section, we only have about 10 minutes left. There's one precondition. If you start to miss your salah, if you indulge in ghunaz, but then expect these wazaif to help you, they won't.
You know, one of the problems we have in Hazrat is, sadly, people are not reading the wazaif. You know, let me give you an example. Someone comes to you and they've got a problem, and you say to them, okay, Allah Ta'ala khayal kasi, read this wazifa. And they'll turn around and say, kuch taweez de yuro. You know, because they don't want to read. And then, you know, it does happen as well. You know, I think I mentioned this before. Someone came on and he goes, Surat, qahaf padi diyo 786 var, 786 times. Peer Sahib told me to read Surah Kahf 786. Can you read it for me? The thing is, if people don't want to do these wazifs anymore, it's because, number one, there's a... You know, a lot of the times, you know, you have Khatme Qadriya, yeah? And sadly, there might be someone watching, and I'm not saying it in a bad way. You know, if you go Khatme Qadriya in your own house, surely you should be sitting down, because you've got the problem. Majority of the time what happens is you go Khatme Qadriya, Islamic brothers come from outside, where's the family members, or they're sometimes, you know, on the phone, maybe they're doing some good. If you need to tap Baina, they might read the Khatme.
That is a very good point you make, Hafsab. You know, in our local masjid, you know, after Fajr Salah, we do a zikr. It only takes about 2 or 3 minutes. It's a beautiful zikr. It starts with Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. And then there's a beautiful zikr. Now, I'm surprised, honestly, sometimes, that as soon as Imam Sahib does salam, the people can't wait to get out. And you know what? I'm sat there thinking sometimes, if you could see the blessings you're missing out on, it's amazing, because you've just finished the namaz. What does the glorious Quran say? You know, when you finish your namaz, do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These people are doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. How unfortunate is that? You know, on the Day of Judgment, how is he going to feel when everybody gets their reward for Fajr Salah with Jamaat, yeah? And then these people who stay there for the 3 or 4 minutes afterwards and do the zikr, they get an extra load of sawab. And you are stood there thinking, yaar, I was there, but I walked away for the sake of 4 minutes. I missed out.
You know, if it's 3 or 4 minutes, then I think, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, not taking the advantage. Sometimes it does happen, you know, someone has to go for work in the morning. I went into a masjid and, you know, we were on a Madani Kafila, because we were going to be there anyway. You know, the Imam Sahib, mashallah, azawajal, you know, read the namaz, and after that they had a zikr. And it went on for about 35, 40 minutes, and, you know, we enjoyed it because we had a but there were people there that had to go to work in the morning, you know, and then, you know, we were thinking, you know, these guys are going to miss out, you know, they're late again. But, you know, when they spent about half an hour, we thought, chalo, maybe they have to go to work, but they had a procedure.
We were in Juma, and it was in the pandemic, but it was when the mosques were open before the second lockdown. And you know, we do Salat As-Salam, Mustafa Jani Rahmatullah As-Salam. So a buzzer came over and he goes, jaldi jaldi mukho, ek sher paro ya do sher paro ya. And so I said to the brothers, yeah, I said, just read the Salat As-Salam.
Pura, pura.
So I said, look, read it full, yeah. But the point was this, as soon as we finished, yeah, the same person stayed around in the masjid first talking to people, then when they got outside, when we'd count the money and everything else, and then we came out and we were locking up, he still stood outside talking to people. And I'm thinking, that he couldn't wait. But yeah, and sometimes this is a versus of the shaitan as well. The shaitan doesn't want us to do this.
Early on you mentioned a condition of a wazaif. Scholars have actually written seven conditions, seven sharaid of the wazaif, and I'll just briefly mention them inshallah. Number one, it's very important that you eat halal and you stay away from haram. So this is one. And then second is always speak truth and never lie. Third condition, have the correct intention and have purity in your intention. So that's very important. Number four, make sure you act upon Sharia as best as possible. Overall, acting upon the faraiz and wajibat. Now make sure you have make special arrangements for these. Number five, to have respect and honor for the sacred things. For example, have adab for the Quran, for the Holy Kaaba, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have adab for namaz. Have adab for the pious Muslims. And overall, for Islam, have respect and honor in your heart. This is very important. Number six, whichever wazifa you invoke, you read, try to read it with full attention, with full focus. Dil ki huzuri ke saath, yeah, with full focus. Number seven, whichever amal, whichever action or wazifa that you will lead, to benefit from it to the best level, it's important to have complete yaqeen in that wazifa. If you have the belief, the faith in that yaqeen, having that faith, having that yaqeen that inshallah I will read this, inshallah I will get better.
That's a very important point.
Yaqeen is very important. We have faith in the goli, you know, the paracetamol. Okay, that will stop my headache. But gosh, we have the same level of belief in Surah Fatiha.
You know, just to give an example of yaqeen. Now, for example, you're in your weekly ijtima, and there's time for dhikr now. And one person, if you're to the right, he is so much involved in dhikr. Yeah, and you can see, when you look at him, he looks like he's spiritually connected, mashallah. Mm-hmm. He's enjoying his spiritual moments there. And on the other side, this person saying the same words, but he's looking around. He's not having the same impact on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the difference? That person there, he's fully focused. He has that, he's really switched on and focusing on what he's reciting. And with regards to yaqeen, there's a saying, koi aya pa ke chala gaya, koi umar bar na pa
saka.
Apne apne naseeb ki baat hai. Sometimes, you know, because you don't have that yaqeen, you know, when you go to mazarat, you go to the shrines and you read Fatiha there, you do dua there for their vasila as well. And some people, they do that as well. They go throughout the life, they go, but they always 50-50, yeah, if I go to that mazar, will I get benefit?
That's
the one. On the other side, there's people who go there, or probably go there for a moment, but because they go with a yaqeen, and they fulfill their needs as well, and they go back.
There's a story about Badshah Adam Shirizan, that he went to the mazar of Sayyidina Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Ajmeri rahmatullahi alayhi, and he saw this person who was blind, and he was outside, and he was making this dua for years. He's been there. Oh Khaja, give my eyes, give my eyes, give my eyes. And Badshah Alam, he asked him, he goes, for how long have you been coming here? He goes, I've been coming here for a long time. And he goes, and you still haven't got your eyes back? And he goes, no. He goes, right, I'm going in for Fatiha. When I come back and you don't get your eyes back, I'm going to get you killed. Now this guy, you don't know, Jani de Lade Pegin. So he's there, yeah, Khaja, please give my eyes back. You know, and as soon as he came outside and his eyes were back, and they were restored. And he goes, because you didn't have that yaqeen. And this is how, you know, we ask from Allah. Have you ever seen a beggar, you know, how he comes up to you?
And you feel sorry for him and you give him. If a beggar comes up and says, Anji Chaudhary, you got 1 pound born, you're not going to give him anything. In the same way, you are now begging. You're a beggar in the court of Allah. Now ask Allah Ta'ala in such a way, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you can't cry, still make your face expression as if you're crying. Then you will see the mercy of Allah Ta'ala.
Sometimes what you're looking for, you don't get. That doesn't mean that there's no benefit of reciting the Wazaif. Yeah, sometimes you won't see that. Yeah, because there's many reasons, there's many secrets behind that. But as a Muslim, it's important to continue and be steadfast in those Wazaif throughout your life.
And remember that hadith of Mubarak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if some of your wishes or your du'as are not fulfilled in this world, on the day of judgment, those du'as that you had will be brought back as good deeds for you. And then on that day, a man will hope that none of his du'as was accepted in this world, because on that day he will need every deed. I'm just going to come back to the essence of these wazaif, because they spiritually, Hafsab, there is a hidden secret here. They help you build your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now through these wazaif, you will gradually become closer, your heart will become softer and will open up to the mercies of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, if you've got a person like Tawfiq Bhai very beautifully described as 6 or 7 points, you know, who the person is praying his salah, he's reading the Quran, he's doing nek amal, he's eating halal, and at the same time, he's doing these wazaif as well. It brings us back to a point where you get to a spiritual state where when you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, because you're doing all the right things, Allah Azza wa Jal, the most merciful, the most compassionate, will grant your wishes. Bring yourself to that level. We think, we don't do anything with namaz, we don't read our salah on time, we don't read the Quran, we don't do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't do the but we expect our du'as to be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what the pious predecessors tell us is this: if you protect your salah, if you read the Quran, if you serve the makhluk, if you don't lie, don't backbite, don't cheat, don't defraud, you earn halal, you eat halal, and then you do these wazaif, then you're at that stage where you're on a spiritual journey. And when you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill your needs. You know, the riwayat says, I've said that when a person says in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah, I need this, Allah Ta'ala says, Labbaika Ya Abdi, what do you want? Oh, my servant, what do you want? Tell me. Yet, we need to get ourselves to that state. And then before and after, because we've only got a minute left on this topic, before and after, the acceptance of your wazaif. The Buzurgani Deen tell us time and time again. Durood-e Pak, before and after. There's a beautiful little couplet. Ke kar zikr rasool-e arbi da ede vich balhai teri ye. You know, before and after. Wow. And then I'm gonna leave you with something which is truly a gift. You know, everybody who's watching, if you take this away, there is a book that is just packed from beginning to end with wazaif from the Quran and Hadith, which will change your life. It has got everything that you can think of. Let me give you some of the topics that are listed in it. It's got the blessings of Bismillah Sharif, the excellence of Durood-e Pak, and then how Bismillah Sharif can be a spiritual cure, a physical cure, security for your home, these are different wazaif, a spiritual cure for headaches, nosebleeds, protecting your belongings, protecting your home, illness, protection from thieves, remedy for all calamities, then the different verses of the Quran and their excellence, Surah Hashr Sharif, Surah Yasin Sharif, Surah Waqia Sharif, Ayatul Kursi, Ayah Karima, it goes on, Surah Fatiha Sharif, Surah Kahf Sharif, Surah Fatha Sharif, Surah Duhan Sharif, and it just goes on and on. And all of this is in one book. And honestly, for millions of people around the world, and I'm not exaggerating, for millions of people around the world, this book has become their actual, you know, way of life. Because from the morning to the evening, I see people who sit there in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, with the Madni Panj Surah. It is available in 5 different languages: Urdu, Hindi, Sindhi, English, and Bangla. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to make it available in, you know, 30 languages. Some of the books are available in 30. It is, honestly, it's called the Madni Treasure of Blessings. What else can I say?
Which language are you reading?
English.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to read something from the book that you mentioned, Madni Treasure of Blessings, page 15. This wazifa that I want to share for our viewers inshallah, if you listen to its blessings, you know,
you'll
fall in love with it, inshallah.
Oh,
you don't want to miss out.
My favorite one.
You don't want to miss out on this, yeah? I'll tell two blessings on this particular wazifa first. Whoever practices this particular wazifa, he will enter paradise after death.
Subhanallah.
That's the wish for every single Muslim.
MashaAllah.
He will remain secure from all the tricks of shaitan and jinn.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. What is the wazifa? To whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after every salah will receive these blessings.
MashaAllah. I asked you a question yesterday. Maybe some people have the same question as well. After salah, farz or your complete salah?
The ruling that I have asked is after the farz salah, okay, is what I've been told. I was just going to mention one last point before we finish on this topic. This beautiful book, I mean, it truly is an amazing book. I've had it, it was the English translation came out many, many years ago,
yeah,
and it's one that, alhamdulillah, we regularly read. And sometimes when you're thinking this is a problem, we try and go back and flick through and try and find the solution from there. You can download it for free. This is the point I was going to make. There's the views of Madhini Channel can download it for free right now. Just go to davatislami.net, type in on the book section at the top corner, type in books, type in treasure, and it'll bring, there's only one book called Treasure. It's called Madhini Treasure Madhini Blessings. And it's there. Download the book now. And every night, before you go to sleep, just read two or three pages. And one thing that Amir al-Sunnah says is, if you're lying in bed and doing it, fold your legs up. But apart from that, there's no restriction. But read this book, it is truly
amazing. Let him spend a bit of money and get the book.
Oh, but I say one day, you see, don't
it's what, 250
years. 250 years.
You know, it's not going to break anyone's bank balance, I don't think. JazakAllah khairan, my dear Islamists and viewers of Madhini Channel. Take care of yourself and keep watching Madhini Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The reviver of the reviver.